The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have seen in the Chronicles and a couple other places that I was planning to begin a three-week sermon series on stewardship and the gift of giving to God, but I've actually decided to postpone that. So you're getting something different this morning. And I wanted to share with you some words actually from last week's gospel message, where you might remember that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and he has a conversation with him. And Nicodemus asks a question that I would suspect we've all been asking over these last several weeks. How can these things be? How can these things be? A little less than 2 weeks ago now, a huge tornado cut a swath across Middle Tennessee that left so much destruction in its wake, and over 20 people lost their lives. And we say, how can these things be? We're struggling now with this worldwide coronavirus. We have several members of our congregation who are traveling in Spain now, and you may have heard that Spain has shut its borders. How can these things be? We look around and see how sparse worship attendance is today, and we know that people need to be taking care of themselves. We say, how can these things be? I think your congregation council over the next couple of days will be making a decision as to how we will carry on with our public gatherings for the rest of the month of March. So watch for email news and perhaps a first-class postage that will share the plan for the rest of the month and moving into April. Can you imagine that we would have to make such a decision? How can these things be? It just doesn't make sense. I called my daughter in Maryland a couple days ago when we heard the schools were closed in Maryland. And of course, she works in an early childhood development center. And right now they're open, but if things continue and the learning center closes, what's Christina going to do for a job? How is she going to make money to pay her rent, do the things she needs to do? I know that many of you are in the same situation. How can these things be? Daniel is at Fort Gordon in Georgia right now, attending an Army leadership school. And he called yesterday morning very early to give us the news that the Department of Defense has stopped all troop movements worldwide. So he's going to be stuck there probably at least another month after his school is over. And we're just praying that the daycare in Yuma, where they live, remains open. Because if not, Courtney may have to stop working her job until Daniel gets back. Such turmoil. How can these things be? Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, if you remember from John 3 that we read last week. And of course, coming to him at night was probably for a couple different reasons. Nicodemus was a leader of the Jews, and perhaps he did not want to see his fellow Pharisees, didn't want his fellow Pharisees to see him talking to Jesus. So he goes at night. But you know, the night is also symbolic of other things, of destruction, of evil, of uncertainties. And we know that Nicodemus struggled with that. Jesus told him that he was talking about things that Nicodemus would not understand. And it's true, he didn't understand what was going on. He said, How can these things be? How could one enter into the mother's womb a second time and be born, as Jesus was talking to him about the need to be born again in faith? Nicodemus was scared. He was uncertain about what was going to happen next. He wanted to find out more about this Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus talked to him about the Spirit of God and how, even though we can't see or necessarily hear the Spirit of God at work, we know that it is at work. All you had to do was see the tremendous outpouring of people and monies and supplies that have come into Middle Tennessee over the last 2 weeks. And even here at First, we may be asked to house some relief workers for a period of time. That's the Spirit of God moving amongst His people, coming to people's aid. How can these things be? Why does this need to happen? Well, I thank you for being here this morning in the midst of all of those uncertainties. And you're probably asking that same question: how can these things be? But what Nicodemus learned through his encounter with Jesus is that the day was coming. You remember at the crucifixion how the sun was hidden and things turned dark from noon until 3 as Jesus hung there on the cross and as he was buried in the tomb. But we also know on Easter Sunday, the light came shining once again. And that's really the answer to our question: how can these things be? The fact is that the Spirit of God is with us in presence and through each other as we work through these things that seem so uncertain and that we haven't had to face before, at least not in my lifetime. I know you've had other tornadoes here and have gone through this before. So you know how things will come to terms of recovery. You've lived through that before. So maybe the question isn't quite the same for you: how can these things be? That's a part of living in this world, in this part of the United States of America, and it's things that we have to deal with all the time. How can these things be? Donna Lee went to Sam's Club yesterday, and I guess we were probably about 3 or 4 days late because I think everything was off the shelves. But she shared the story of a woman who was shopping there at Sam's Club at the same time that she was. And she said you could just see the look on people's faces as they were going around the store. And there was anxiety and tension and uncertainty in their eyes. There was one woman there who, as she was going up and down the aisles, was singing gospel songs. And Donna Lee happened to run into her again out in the parking lot and went over to say how much she appreciated hearing the music and how that affected her. And the woman just said, "God is here." That was the reason for her singing. She knew that God is here. How can these things be? Part of being human, I guess. But we know that through it all, the Spirit and the presence of God is here with us. And we'll do the things that we need to do to keep one another safe and to continue our gathering whenever that is safe. Pastor Hooper mentioned how we intend to provide pastoral care. And I know that many folks have called to let us know that they wouldn't be attending worship in the near future because of wanting to protect themselves. And I think that's, an important individual decision. But we also want you to know that your pastors are here for you. And as you let us know what your needs are, we will respond to those needs as best we can and as best as this congregation can. So we are not in this alone by a long shot. This past week, Bishop Strickland came to visit here in Middle Tennessee. He met with all of the pastors in the area over lunchtime, and then took a tour of the devastation and trying to determine how can in spiritus, how can the Southeastern Synod make the best positive impact for the citizens of Middle Tennessee. I was very heartened by his presence and his message, as I think all of the pastors were. And he talked about the same thing. How can these things be? Well, they can be and they will be, but we know that we are firmly in God's hands and that nothing can separate us from the love that he has for us and for his people. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and the mountains shake and tremble at its tumult. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, the hymn that we have next on the docket is really a hymn for our stewardship series, but we'll sing it with gusto and joy. Anyway, please stand as you are able.